I know many of the older members would know what an altar is. But why is an altar important, and why should we study about it? The altar is a word in the Hebrew language that means the place of slaughter. And if we would go back into the Bible days in the worshiping community, we would know that an altar is a place of sacrifice. So as we take just a moment to share some words about an altar, I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the altar. It's where you desire for us to be, to give our lives as a living sacrifice on the altar. We ask that you would bless these few words as we speak to the adventurers and also to ourselves as we give ourselves anew to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were to go back into Bible days, you would want to ask the question, what's an altar? What does an altar look like? And I brought a picture with me to share with the adventurers of what an altar might look like. Can you see that, adventurers? If you might see the square box with the four horns on it, that is an altar. It was made out of wood, but it was surrounded with copper. An altar. An altar was 5 cubits by 5 cubits. A cubit is 1.8 feet or 20 inches, depending. It varies in measurement. What a cubit is. Some say a cubit was from your elbow to the tip of your finger. You can estimate 20 inches. It was square, and it was about 3 cubits high. It was somewhat raised up, and because it was raised up, it was just a little high for the priest. The priest would put an offering, a burnt offering, an offering on the altar. It had a grate, and it had logs, and it would burn up the offering. Because it was of the height in which the altar was perched, there was a ramp, a dirt ramp that led up to the altar so that the priest could put the offering on. The first mention, we believe, of an altar that the Bible mentions is Genesis, the 8th chapter and verse 20. When Noah came out of the ark, one of the first things he did was set up an altar and provide a burnt offering of rededication for his family being saved out of the flood. Even though the Bible does not mention it specifically, we think the very first altar was built in the Garden of Eden. Desire of Ages talks about it in page 52 and Patriarchs and Prophets, page 83, and about the altar where after Adam and his family were no longer able to be in the garden, they set an altar up outside of the Garden of Eden where they came to worship. Most of us have heard of the most famous of altars, and that is found in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, where Abraham erected an altar to place a sacrifice upon the altar. And guess who the sacrifice was? It was his own son. Most have heard of that altar. Unusual about this particular altar that Abraham built, it's the first one that we know of that the Bible says it was named. It was named, "The Lord will provide," or "Jehovah Jireh." The Lord will provide. It was named. That's how important it was. Now there had to be a fire in order to burn up the sacrifice. And that fire on the altar always came from God. And so God lit the fire, and then the sacrifice was consumed. Nothing could happen in the sanctuary without the heavenly flame. Now, adventurers, we don't have an altar today in the truest sense of the word. We don't have this today, neither do we need to bring things to burn up in the church. But we had Jesus who came 2,000 years ago, who died on the cross so that we don't need to burn things on the altar. But even though I said that, we still have something to do regarding an altar. We can put something on the altar. And so I turn your attention to the Gospel of St. Mark, the story, one of the great stories in the Bible. The people went to church in Jesus' day, and they would give an offering. And they had various places around the temple where they would put their offerings. Some say 13 collection boxes if you get overwhelmed by offerings today. And the people would come by, and they would drop their offerings into the alms box. And the Bible says that Jesus did something very unusual. He took a spot in the temple and he started staring at the people when they were putting their offerings in the plate. That doesn't seem very nice, does it? But that's exactly what Jesus did. He was staring at the people as they dropped their offering in the plate. And the Bible says the rich came by, and they had a whole lot. And when they dropped it in there, metal clanging to metal, you could hear it. But something unusual happened. I'm amazed that Jesus was able to pick this out of all of the noise of people dropping money in the plates, that Jesus was able to do this. There was a lady. The Bible says she was a poor, certain widow that came by and had 2 pennies. Now, I want to apologize. I meant to keep out 2 pennies, but I put all of my money when you came by with the basket. So my 2 pennies are gone. But she had 2 pennies. And she came by, and guess what she did? She put the pennies in the offering plate. Now, I'll have to tell you, I shared this at the first service. If I only have 2 pennies left, you know what I'll say sometimes if I'm not careful? They don't need 2 pennies. In fact, some of you guys might see me just putting 2 pennies in the plate. And that wouldn't look too good, would it? The pastor only has 2 pennies to put in the plate. So you know what? I'd probably keep my 2 pennies in my pocket. But that's not what that lady did. She came by and she put her 2 pennies in the plate. And you know what Jesus said about her? "I've never seen a gift like that. There's no gift comparable to that." Now, I know we have a lot of people, and I want to say something. Jesus did not condemn the rich for putting their money in. It's okay. Continue to give. But wonder who gave the most. I was looking at a list of the richest people in the world. 10 on the list. Forbes magazine usually puts out a list of all the richest people. Guess who would be the richest person in the world? Bill Gates. See, your parents knew that. Bill Gates, $52 billion. Next in line, Warren Buffett, $35 billion. Then the Albrecht brothers, the only one on the list of the top 10 outside of the United States. The Albrecht brothers, $26 billion. Paul Allen, also from Microsoft, $25 billion. Lawrence Ellison of Oracle, $23 billion. And the next five on the list, Jim, John, Alice, Robeson, Helen, Walton, all made the list, the next five. You know where that comes from, Walmart. The next five on the list are all from Walmart. And they have $20 billion, roughly. The next on the list, number 11, is Prince from Saudi Arabia, who barely made the $20 billion mark. And then I want to get to the poor people. People like those under 40, like Sean, what's his name today? Sean Puffy Combs, P. Diddy, or is just plain Diddy? I don't know. I lose track. $315 million, poor man. Or Sean Carter, Jay-Z, poor, $286 million. J-Lo, poor, $255 million. And then there's Tiger Woods, that poor man, $295 million. Shaq, $222 million. And then the rear, Andre Agassi, $162 million. Poor people! Guess what Jesus said? He said, the lady with two pennies who put the two pennies in the plate gave the most. Did he really mean that? So what matters? Is it how much money you have or how much you give? What made this such a important venture is that she gave all she had. She gave everything. Adventurous, I want you to do something from now on. I want you to learn to give to Jesus. I'm going to ask you something hard. That's what an altar is all about. It means giving yourself. It means you getting on the altar and giving of all you are and all you have. You, as you grow up, you're going to hear the term living sacrifice. That's you. And I want you to do something else. I want all of you to do this from now on. Do you know that giving is an act of worship? In fact, I believe that we should never, ever come to worship God without giving. In fact, I believe that you should plan to give whenever you come to worship. I didn't get one amen. Thank you, Benny. She heard it in the first service, so that's where I got my amen. Whenever you come to worship, because giving is a part of worship. I want you to give something. If it's nothing but a penny, don't leave home without your parents. Go to your parents and say, would you give me something so that I can worship God today? Did you hear me, adventurers? I want you from now on, before you leave home to come to church, I want you to go to your parents and say, would you give me something so that I can worship God? Adults, when you come to church, I want you to plan to give something, even if it's 2 pennies. I never come to worship intentionally without bringing something. Look out. Help me, Jesus. Have I been to worship when I have not given anything? I certainly have. I've forgotten either to put something in my wallet or there wasn't anything in my wallet. Why? Because it's an act of worship. Bring something to worship. Because you never know when Jesus is on the side watching. And he just might pronounce on your worship that it was the greatest gift ever given. And then finally, you know what's even more important than giving money? You know what it is. It's giving of yourself. It's doing something for God's kingdom. It's becoming a living, breathing, walking sacrifice for him. For they all put out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, even her whole livelihood. What an example for us. And we don't even know her name. The Bible never names her. We don't know what happened to her. We know she didn't have a family. She was a widow. Her husband was no longer there. He dropped something in the offering plate, scurried on out, and I can't wait to meet her in the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the widow's mite, worth only a couple of pennies, but something special happened in church the day that Jesus went. He met a woman who gave everything that she had for his cause. Lord, that's a challenge to all of us. We thank you, Lord. Oh, it's not about the money. Money is important. But isn't it more important, Lord, for us to give you our hearts? To not hold anything back. Isn't it, Lord, that we see the great stories of the Scripture, and they are all stories about those who gave everything. Noah came out of the ark and set up an altar. Abraham sacrificed what was the most precious to him, his son, on an altar. Mary broke open the bottle of spikenard, perfume, over Jesus' feet, not in drops, but let it gush out. All the indications of giving everything. And now, the woman whose name we do not know puts everything on the altar. We thank you, Lord, for inspiring her with such love. Lord, you understand it because you gave everything for us. You gave your life. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.